I open myself to you this morning, Lord. And sometimes that's messy. But in order to clean the mess, we have to admit there is a mess. Yes, it is. And sometimes the mess is just small, but it's just enough to keep us from the fullness of what God's doing. So, Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this place of intimacy that we can enter into and just focus on you and give you all our attention, God, all our affection, God, and even give you all our fear and doubt, God. And you leave us with a big hug and a warm embrace, God, and a sense of safety and purpose and destiny. And so we thank you for that this morning. We ask you to bless your word this morning. Take what you've already released to us in the form of worship, God, and continue to build on that in our hearts, in our lives this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come in a most powerful way. Amen. So last week, we were worshiping to the live stream, and the song was about fragrance. And you know, when you're worshiping, it's easy to think about fragrance. We sang some songs about, you know, worship and lifting up a fragrance. And it's easy to make the connection between our praise and a fragrance toward God. And then Sue spoke about prayer. And for me, it was like, wow, you know, fragrance and prayer kind of are pretty similar too, right? When we think about, the Bible says in Revelation, I believe it is, that our prayers are stored up in bowls and poured out in heaven. But I think the thing God challenged me about was, it's not so much your fragrance towards me, it's your fragrance towards everybody. And so this term fragrance has been on my mind the whole week. Just couldn't get away from it. And the idea is, like, how do you smell? How do I smell?
Good.
So let's take a look at this and see if we can let the Holy Spirit really really have access to us this morning. Are we really open this morning? Would be a question I'll ask myself. Am I really open to hear what God might want to say to me this morning? So Hosea 14:5-6, the prophet's talking about the salvation of Israel. And it says, I'll be like the dew to Israel. Now he's talking about Jesus. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedars of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedars of Lebanon. Meaning that Christ has this incredible aroma that is really captivating, if you will. I'll try to think of another word for it. But if you ever remember watching cartoons as a kid, inevitably when somebody was baking something, you saw this physical fragrance going across the yard or out of the house, and somebody in the story suddenly smelt this wave of fragrance that was coming and then was drawn to that food, whatever it happened to be. And that's the fragrance of Christ drawing humanity toward him. And it doesn't mean that we're going to respond to that fragrance, but as agents of Christ, we are responsible to represent that fragrance as accurately and as fragrantly as possible. Jesus is the fragrance of salvation, the fragrance of God. We're called to be the same. And we look at a lot of things. We talk about our identity. Our identity is our fragrance. So if we say our identity is in God, then we must smell like God.
And
taste like him. And I don't mean necessarily in the natural, but there is a natural component to it, right? They can't be separated. So the question for all of us this morning is, what is our fragrance? And it might be easy to say in this room, our fragrance is good. But that's not the question this morning. The question is, what's our fragrance all the time? In every interaction, in everything we're doing, how do we smell? Well, here's some interesting thing. If you think about this, you'll know it's true, right? The sense of smell is the only one of our senses that is wired directly to our brain, so the results is immediate. The brain must interpret the other senses before they can be comprehended. The olfactory nerves have been described as brain cells outside the brain. The olfactory bulb lies in the upper part of the nose. These nerves are then connected directly to the limbic system. Saturation and fading is when we are exposed to one smell for a long time. It disappears from our conscious awareness. The most obvious is the cook who cannot smell the food cooking until she leaves and comes back in the kitchen. So the question this morning for us is, when we stink, are we the only ones that don't know it?
God knows.
Now, I tried to do an experiment here, and I went downstairs, and I lit a cigar, and I put it by this towel, and I brought the towel up. I don't know if anybody smelled cigar in the room.
I sure did.
Okay, my wife did.
And
my wife's right next to it, so that's what she did. So it didn't work as well as I wanted to. I didn't want to bring it up here and lit, right? But here's the point. The point is, and we can go through a million examples. Why don't we start there? A couple of weeks ago, I went fishing with my son, and we caught a lot of fish. And then we cooked a lot of fish. And the house stunk like fish. And I came home from work the next day, and I was almost nauseous because the house smelled so bad. And I said to my wife, I said, we have to do something, because I went upstairs to the bedroom, and the bedroom stunk like fish. And that's not really common in my house. When my wife cooks, it always smells great, but it doesn't always go upstairs, although it's tricky because, as we'll see, once you get used to something, you can't tell anymore. So I came in the house on Monday night, and I said, this house stinks. We have to light some candles. And my wife said to me, I don't smell anything. And I am not exaggerating on how bad the house smelled like fish. I mean, like, normally I can deal with that. I like fish. It doesn't bother me. But I couldn't stand it. So Tuesday came, and I said, the house stinks like fish. I can't take it. I don't smell anything. And then Wednesday, I finally went and scrummaged through my daughter's room, find a whole bunch of candles and lit them all over the house because I just couldn't deal with it anymore. The reality is that Ruth had cooked most of the fish for a couple days. We cooked some on Saturday night when we got home. And then she cooked a whole bunch more with Jeremy on Monday afternoon. And the house stunk like fish. She had become acclimated to that fragrance, that scent, and she could no longer discern that she was the only one that couldn't tell. It didn't smell like fish. She thought it smelled normal. There's nothing wrong with her. That's natural. The problem is when we get in a place where, in this case, we don't smell good, and if we don't have people around us to say, hey, you don't smell good, right? Here's another example. I work out a lot. I like to sweat because sweat is good for you. It releases toxins out of your body. So don't let people make fun of you when you sweat. It's a good thing. But when I sweat a lot, I smell a lot, right? But I don't, and I know I smell, intuitively I know that when I'm sweaty, I smell. But I don't smell it. But everybody else does. So I could either do two things. I could say to myself, listen, I'm soaking wet in sweat. I got to smell really bad. Or I could say, hey, I don't smell anything, so I must be just great. Now, everybody around me is affected by my fragrance, but I'm stuck in a place where I just think everything's okay because I don't smell it. Now, what typically happens is after I get cleaned up and I take a shower and, you know, I'm 20 minutes away from my workout clothes. Then I go back and either put them in the laundry or put them in the washer. then I can smell it again, and it, you know, it's bad. But if I don't have somebody to tell me it's bad or to tell me it's good, then I could be stuck in a spot where it's not working. And the Bible commands us to be a fragrance, the aroma of God. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 in the Passion Translations. Be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered to the extravagant love of Christ. For he sacrificed his life, he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for all of us. His great love for us was pleasing to God, like an aroma of adoration, a sweet, healing fragrance. Question number two. Is your life, is my life, a sweet, healing fragrance? Listen, this is like not new stuff. We know what we're called to do, and we know what we're called to be. It's just another way to see it. But if we think about our life every day, every interaction, all the things we do, are we a sweet, healing fragrance? I can tell you I'm not. And that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily a destructive force when I'm not. But you know what the Bible says in Revelation is, I wish you were all the way over here or all the way over there. I mean, I wish you probably were a destructive force rather than being in the middle and just being like a non-influential scent, a non-influential aroma. Now, I'm not encouraging you to be a bad aroma this morning, obviously. But what I am saying is that we don't get to pick and choose when we choose to express or be the fragrance of God and when we don't. We have a command to be that 24 hours a day. Yeah, even when we're sleeping, we ought to be a fragrance that rises up to God. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 50. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us, say that with me, manifests through me the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We went through a teaching a while back about our DNA being a song and every song being different and how that just solidified the whole notion of our identity with God and the uniqueness of every one of us. And so while we are a song, we are also a fragrance. You see how creative God is? He leaves nothing to chance. And he's made you and me in such a creative and such an incredibly delicate way that every facet of who we are is usable and is important in God's plan. And so I have a fragrance. Like, you go to the department store. Al works for Estee Lauder. They have a whole bunch of fragrances of all kinds, right? And any one of us will go in there and we'll pick some. Hey, I really love that fragrance. That's my favorite right there. But that leaves like 1,000 other ones that are really good, but you don't like them. And I want to submit to you that the people that God puts us in front of have a unique desire for the fragrance that God put in you and me. And my fragrance is different than yours. We're all not trying to be the same fragrance. We're trying to be the same Christ fragrance, but that Christ fragrance is manifested in each one of us differently because God's putting us in front of different people every day. He's putting us in different situations every day. He's putting us in different places every day. And those places only respond to a specific fragrance. That's the one you're carrying. That's why God put you there. That's why God put me there. And so if my fragrance is off, not only does it bother the people around me, it also prevents the people that God has placed in my path on the journey that I'm on from smelling the fragrance of heaven. And so we don't know. Like, we go into New York City and we get on the subway train and somebody's there that's not cleaned in a long time. And we distinctly know that smell, right? But I don't, at least in most of my experiences, can't remember a time when I walked on that train and smelt that smell and said, I have a greater fragrance than that. I don't need to be disturbed by that fragrance because I just filled this subway car up with the fragrance of heaven, with the fragrance of Christ. Now,
God said, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Yeah, cleanliness is next to godliness. Absolutely. So don't think that you just need a good spiritual fragrance. You need a good physical fragrance too. So unfortunately, it works the same way. It works in the opposite way too. When we have a bad fragrance, again, we don't know that we have a bad fragrance because we've been in a place, if we stay in a place too long, right? And every one of us will be a bad fragrance for a moment in time, hopefully, and in some different places in our life and some circumstances where we lose it or where we lose focus, we can become a bad fragrance really fast. But hopefully that's a momentary thing, and then we get a check either by those around us who say, hey, that's not really great. And then we check back in with God, we repent, get back in the right place. The problem is when we don't do that. Problem is when we ignore those voices, when we ignore the people around us who love us, who care for us, when we ignore the people that we worship with and we stay in that place, then we suddenly don't know anymore. It little by little, we're not smelling the destruction of that fragrance anymore. And then we become immune to the call of God to change what we're doing. And we think everything's all right with this. I've seen multiple people who thought they could manage their lives living partly with a fragrance of heaven and partly with a fragrance of the world. And the problem is once you get into the fragrance of the world, it just draws you in. And the longer you stay in that place, the more you don't know that you're in the wrong place. The more you think it's okay, this is okay. This life, this habit, this behavior, this action is okay. I see other people doing it. It must be okay. It doesn't feel bad. It must be okay. And the people that you're with that would maybe practice the same things or do the same place or things or go the same places, they don't know either because they're so used to the fragrance. I mean, you've seen this. You've experienced this. If you think about it, you go into a place and you just say immediately, you know what? This is not a place where I want to be. There's a fragrance there. Sometimes you sense it as another way. Sometimes you may see it visually, say, oh, I don't want to be here. But other times, it's just you get a sense. You get a sense that this is not a place where I want to stay. And sometimes our flesh would want to stay there, maybe. Sometimes our flesh might be saying, well, it's not that bad. It doesn't smell that bad. And if we stay for 10 minutes, we stay for 30 minutes, 30 minutes in, we don't even know it smells anymore. We've just adapted. We've lost the ability. And this is, in the physical, this is a reality. If you do this in the physical, I lit the cigar before. If I had filled up this room with cigar smoke and we all sat here for 30 minutes, we'd be the only ones that didn't know that the room smelled like cigar. Because our senses would have acclimated and said, it smells normal now. Because we've had a period of time in that scent, we can no longer discern. And so we have to be careful what we're experiencing and how long we stay in the place of experience. And I know some things are obvious, right? We would not go some places for obvious reasons. but some things aren't. But the bigger issue for us today is, even if I go to those places, am I bringing a scent that overrides the scent of darkness, the sense of enemy, the enemy? Is my scent exactly what it should be? And like I said, for each one of us, it's different. It wouldn't be the same. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are being perished, who are perishing. So here's the other interesting part about it. Our fragrance gives people the opportunity to experience Christ in a way that they may never have had before. But it also gives them the opportunity to say, hey, I don't like that perfume. It's not a captive. It's not a spell that we put over them when we exude the fragrance of heaven. It's not that they have no choice but to respond. They still have a choice. They say, well, I smell that, but that's, I don't like that smell. It's not my favorite. But then the decision belongs to them. We've done our part. We've gone in. We've submitted ourselves. We've opened ourselves wide to the Lord. We've allowed him to dig into the deep places in our life. And out of that process comes this sweetness, this flavor, this aroma that is absolutely captivating for those who are searching for the fragrance that only you and you and you have. I can't be the fragrance you are. And you can't be the fragrance I am. It's just like gifts. I can't be your gifting. You can't be mine. We have to be who we were called to be. And so God asks us this morning, he asked me all week long, how do you smell? And it was a tough week because I don't always smell as good as I should, right? And that goes across every one of the relationships in my life, in my family, at work, here, everywhere. I'm challenged about my scent and my aroma, right? And it doesn't change what we're called to do. It doesn't change how we do things necessarily. It doesn't say, oh, this doesn't have to be done because you got to work on your fragrance. It means in everything we got to do, the hard stuff, the challenging stuff, the painful stuff, we still are called to be the fragrance of Christ. So how often do we have a bad aroma and we're the only one that doesn't know it? And more than that, when someone says, hey, you smell, do we get offended? Or do we say, you know what, maybe you're right. I thought I was okay, right? When I allow myself to stay in a foul-smelling place, I will rapidly adopt until I become unaware of my own scent. We talked about it already. But I think what I want to try to challenge myself and you about this morning is some things are obvious. Some things, it's obvious that we're in a bad-smelling place, but others aren't. And so I'm not talking about the obvious ones. We should know them, right? I mean, if you go out in your yard and it smells like a skunk, nobody says, hey, I'm going to hang out here, right? You get out of there, right? It's a pretty obvious one. I could give you a million other examples. I shouldn't need to. I'm talking about ones where your attitude is off. Your love is off. Your empathy is off. And so many other subtle things in our life that we go through every day and we don't realize them because they're not big things. They don't necessarily jump out. They become comfortable parts of our behavior, but they're distorting our fragrance. We've got these little things in our behavior that are distorting our fragrance and we let them go because it's not a skunk. It's not rotting garbage. I remember when I was about 18, 19, 20 years old, I was working for an electrician and we had to go to Patterson. Patterson at that time was known as like one of the top slaughter places of chickens on the planet. Everybody used to go to Patterson to buy fresh slaughtered chickens. And we had to go work in this chicken slaughterhouse. And what I want to tell you, it was the worst smell I had ever, up until that moment, I had ever smelled, right? And that's pretty bad. And it might have just been me, right? Everybody experiences scent differently. But we had to work there that day. And all that day, I was holding my throat because I just wanted to vomit. It was so bad. But there was a couple hundred people working in that place. And they were working around like... And I'm saying to myself, "How don't these people smell how bad it is in here?" But they couldn't smell it because... And I guess, like, listen, for most of them, they probably obviously get used to it in the day. I mean, I would think that when they went home at night, they got refreshed in their senses and they came in the morning and they probably said, "Oh, that smell again." But they got so used to acclimating after so much time that it didn't bother them. But I could not stand it. That whole day, I couldn't. I never acclimated. I don't know why. I guess because my body was just like physically revolting. The point is, though, that the people that worked there didn't know or didn't. It didn't affect them anymore. And we've seen this where you go somewhere and maybe there's rotting garbage, or you see on TV where you see some of these places in the world where people are living on landfills, right? And you say, "Oh, I could never do that. It must smell so bad." Yeah, well, you get used to it. And also when you're desperate, you put up with a lot of things that you don't put up with when you're not. And so how do we think about how would I become better smelling than I am today? How would God change my life in some way, at some subtle level, so that the perfume of heaven becomes more consistent in my life? What am I intentionally doing to nurture and increase the fragrance of Christ in my life? And we got to be careful here too. We say, "Well, you know, I go to church." Okay. Anybody can smell good on Sunday morning.
Amen.
"Well, I read my Bible." Okay. Are those things that we're doing to develop, to build ourselves up in our spiritual man, are they creating a better smelling you? Or are you just going through practices for the sake of going through practices, right? I would never discourage anybody from reading their Bible. I would never discourage anybody from worshiping at home or listening to a sermon. But the reality is that has to be changing my fragrance. Because if it's not, then it just becomes something I'm doing as an exercise. And it's not perfecting the perfume that God has designed specifically for me. Just like the one he's designed specifically for you. Our fragrance is an invitation for all we come in contact with to experience the aroma of God. So we'll go back to the subway. You get on the subway, somebody smells, but there's 50 other people in the car. You're so focused, I'm so focused on the smell that I'm not aware and I'm not thinking, "Hey, God, I just stepped into this car. Why did I get in that car with those people on that day? Why did I get on that bus at that time with those people?" I mean, I wonder what the statistical chances of you going to New York on a daily basis and getting on a subway train and getting in the same car with the same people on the same day a lot. I bet you the chances are very rare. Because the trains run so fast and there's so many people, there's so many moving parts. Yeah, I guess if you take the same bus every day at the exact same time every day, you'll probably see familiar people. But they just they're just exposed to more of the fragrance of God in you on a regular basis. But think about how many people you're only going to cross their path once. What was that experience? Did they smell something good? Or were we too focused on something else? Or were we too caught up in some other area of our life and so our fragrance was off? I think we have to think through so many things that God has chosen to do in our life. We think about the obvious ones, but we don't think about the so unobvious ones, the chance meetings, the chance appearances. Oh, I'm going to run to the store for this. Well, why did 3 o'clock on whatever day you decided I got to run out and grab this? And suddenly you're in a place and there's other people there. What's your fragrance? I'm too tied up to worry about my fragrance. I got to get this done, God, or I got to do this, or I'm worried about that, or I'm. What's your fragrance? Let's just stand up and make some declarations. Say it with me. I am the fragrance of Christ. I don't put him on and let him fade. I maintain the aroma of God throughout my day. My fragrance is unique. There are many in my path that are searching for the specific scent of the Father in me. God, we just thank you. We thank you for this time this morning that we could enter in, God, that we can open up ourselves to you, God, in a place where we can't really do that a lot of times in our life, but we come here, God, we can be transparent with you. We can let you enter in and you can refresh us, God. You can revive our spirit, God. You can rework our inner man, God, and you can perfect the fragrance of Christ in us, God. The smell of glory, the smell of hope, God, can become all about who we are, God. And we thank you this morning. We have another opportunity to represent you well, God. To be the aroma that so many people are hoping to smell today, God. God, give us greater understanding about who we are and what we were meant to do in our lives. And let our scent be ever more clear and wonderful, God, because you are the maker of the perfume that comes out of us. We thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name. God, we say a special prayer this morning for those that are traveling, Ruth and Ronnie and Sue and the others that they're going with. God, we just pray that they will have a blessed trip, God, and they will be exposed to greater fragrances of the kingdom, and they will also bring the fragrance of the kingdom wherever they go, God. We pray for protection and blessing upon them, and we pray that our families would be blessed in their absence. We also pray for those that are sick. We thank you again for Vince and how he's doing. We pray that he would just have an amazing semester in school, God, both intellectually, spiritually, and physically, God, that all three of those parts of his life, God, would just come into union and begin to prosper in an uncanny way. We pray for those that have cancer, Kim and my brother-in-law, Jonathan, recovering, God, Angela, and so many others, God. We just pray, Michelle and her mom, that you be with them. And all those that have asked for prayer, God, we release healing to their lives. The fragrance, we are the fragrance of healing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.